Okay, so last time, there was a Baruch Hashem, a geshmaka shir, and I was challenged, which is good. So I'd like to address first some of the smaller points that were left open at the end of the shir, and then our central discussion, which is going to be what a Torah Lishma means, and is there a machlokas between the Litvish approach and the Hasidish approach? And if there is a machlokas, what exactly is the machlokas? So, first of all, just a one clarification. We saw last time a shtickle from the Zohar that was discussing the place where the Teva landed on Mount Ararat. The Zohar said, what in the world is the importance of knowing this? It seems like an irrelevant detail. And therefore, it derived some type of Kabbalistic teaching from that word. And the Zohar uses very strong words to depict how every single word of Torah must be conveying something very deep. So, does that mean that the Zohar would be opposed to, let's say, interpreting repetition in a pasuk for poetic reasons? Kethel Milim Binyan Shonos, the Rishonim, in various different contexts, seem to allow for such understandings. So I don't think that the Zohar is necessarily opposed to that. One of the things that you see from the Pshat and the Ramban al HaTorah is that a person could be very into Pshat. The Ramban al HaTorah works very, very hard to figure out what the Pshuto Shel Mikra is. But he also calls the mystical interpretations Derech HaEmes. He calls them the Pnimius HaDavar. And the Ramban's approach is that we learn pshat, we're learning pshat. And accordingly, on a level of pshat, perhaps the answer as to why a certain phrase or word is repeated is because for poetic reasons or stylistic reasons or Dibra Torah Kelashon B'nei Adam or all sorts of things along those lines. And that's true. And when you're learning pshat, then those are the types of approaches that are appropriate. However, what the Zohar is saying is that there's more to Torah than pshat, and people who think that all there is pshat are making a very big mistake, and they're missing something very, very deep. So, one idea that perhaps you don't get from the Zohar is the idea that we mentioned last time of omek pshat. In other words, pshat itself can be studied with great amkus and great profundity and great depth. And some Rishonim focus on that. The Zohar, at least that particular place, seems to maybe speak of pshat more superficially and therefore a little bit dismissive in terms of the depth. But I still think that certainly a person, a mekubal, can, like the Ramban, can understand Torah al-pi pshat and omek pshat, and also appreciate that al-pi sod, there's something much deeper. The second point of clarification after Shir last time, Gabe came up to me, some of you are still here, and he said, you know, when I learned this sugya of why we learn Torah, what's the purpose of Torah, what does Torah lishma mean, so there are three views, the very least three views that I see, and these are incompatible. Most Rishonim, many Rishonim talk about Torah Lishma as Gadol Torah Shemevi Lidei Maisa. Lishma means learning Torah in a way that has practical applications. And then you have other sources like the Nefesh HaChayim. Torah Lishma means L'shem Torah, whatever exactly that means. We'll try to understand that. That's also a very challenging idea, an idea that's hard to understand, and Be'ezus Hashem, we're going to work on that. And then you have other sources that the Alter Rebbe, we'll see that also shortly, that Torah Lishma means Dveikus, and these are three mutually exclusive approaches to Torah Lishma. So I don't want to deny that there's any machlokas. However, I think when approaching things like this, you have to keep in mind that Torah and today's sugya, which is the notion of Talmud Torah, is very broad, and there are many elements to it, and oftentimes they're dialectical. The Rambam writes that due to the dialectical nature of expression, a lot of times you can't present everything in one place. And so what a writer is forced to do is present one aspect of a concept in one place, another aspect of a concept in another place, and a reader might think that there's a contradiction between these two sources that the author failed to notice. But in reality, it's a dialectic. They're both true. And therefore, they're presented in different places. And certainly that's true with Torah. Just to appreciate it, I saw once Rav Hartman note in one of the footnotes, it's a footnote in Ber HaGola, in the Maharal's Ber HaGola, that the Maharal defines the word Torah in three ways, in three different places. Sometimes the word Torah, he says, means, and Kedarko Shel Maharal, he says, gives each definition like in five different places. So it's not like he forgot about what he said. You know, leave it to the footnotes to find all the different places and show them. But the point is that in some places he talks, Torah refers to Horah, like Psak, how to practically navigate life in terms of Diktuk Behalacha. Sometimes Torah is Horah B'Tameya Torah, and sometimes Horah means like the pathway to achieve Olam Haba. So what's the pshat? So the Maharal often writes, Kedarko Bakodesh, that there are three dargos of Torah. There is Torah, Shkayach, thank you so much. So there's Torah that relates to Olam Hazeh. Torah is a very practical guide that helps, like the Rambam says, perfect society and allow people to live productively in society. Torah is a bridge to Olam Haba. And Torah is also Olam Haba, meaning to say it's the Chachmas Hashem that is not shayach to this world. There's a very famous Gemara. The Gemara says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tried to give the Torah to Klal Yisrael, so the Malachi Ashari subjected. They said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're being mevazeh tachsisei shalcha. Right? So Hashem, you know, says to Moshe Rabbeinu, no, so answer up to the Malachim. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, well, you know, look, there are all sorts of mitzvot. You can't have basar b'chalav. You, Malachim, you don't even eat. Right? Lo sachro shor v'chamor yachtav. Malachim, you don't do any harisha. So that was the taina to the Malachim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah to Am Yisrael. Great. Now, I think it's the Radvaz who says, it's a very strange dialogue. Like, meikar meikasav v'levasof meikasav. What exactly were the Malachim taining? That the Torah shouldn't be given to human beings. Moshe Rabbeinu was clearly right. The Torah relates to activities that are only shayach to human beings. It relates to passions that are relevant to human beings, to taivos that are relevant to human beings, to physical acts that are relevant to human beings. What exactly were the Malachim saying? So Radvaz says that answer is that Torah can be understood on many different levels. Torah, kula shmos av shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Torah can be understood in a way that's not shayach at all for human beings to even relate to. It's Ratzon Hashem. Malachim were looking at that aspect of Torah, and they're saying, look, human beings can't even relate to this, and certainly it would be it would be disparaging and disgraceful for you to give this holy Torah to human beings. Moshe Rabbeinu says back, oh, but look, Torah also relates to the most human physical activities, things that are not shaykh to you, angels. So Moshe won. Why? Because human beings are shaykh to both. On the one hand, they can relate to Torah as a practical guide how to live on this world, and they could also connect to the most supernal and sublime truths of the Torah. So be'etzem, Torah is much more shaykh to humans than malachim. But the point is that when we speak of Torah, there are many aspects to Torah that we can speak of, and they're all true. And you'll have sources focusing on certain aspects. Talmud Torah is mevi lidei maisa, and it's so important because it tells us what to do and how to live in olam hazeh and the like. And if you just saw those sources, you might think, okay, that's all there is to Torah. It's a guidebook in terms of how to live on this world. But of course, there's more. Torah relates to olam hazeh, relates to olam haba, and perhaps even most importantly, it teaches us how to bridge those two things. Hanar yotze me'eden lahashkos es hagan. The Gan is the Olam HaSiyah. Torah teaches us how to relate to that. Eden is the Olam HaMachshava. Torah is the Nahar. It's the bridge that connects those two. It is the way in which we can relate to the Dvar Hashem in the most powerful way. We could talk more about that, but I do want to get to our actual topic for today. Now, before we talk about the machlokas, or lack of machlokas, between Kalatani and Afshachayim about what Torah Lishma means, I just want to talk for one moment about Drosh V'Kavel Schar, which is an issue that was also brought out last time. Drosh V'Kavel Schar, I think, classically, means what I said last time in Shir. But I didn't have any makoros that said it last time, so I gave you a couple of makoros over here. Here on the top left, you have a piece from the Mergolios Hayam on that Gemara in Sanhedrin. First, he quotes a Sefer Hasidim, who basically says that there are all sorts of, again, top left of the today's handout. So the Sefer Hasidim, who talks about how there are all sorts of practical lessons that we learn from the Ben Soromora. Sheyafshe shelo yetze man shel mitzvah ben soromora lomar shelo yachnaf adam esbinau. He talks about how it's the responsibility of a parent to be mechanech his child and not let things get out of hand. And when you see your son going off the derech, don't be passive like David HaMelech, and you have to respond. And if you don't, look at what could happen, etc., etc. Long similar lines of Ben Yehoyada. Talks about how from Ben Soromora we learn about the dangers of gluttony and about drinking. So, and there are others here as well. He quotes a Shla, who makes a similar point. Drosh v'kabel schar means that lilmod mimena v'isnaftusa l'makom acher. So that's the classical understanding. However, there's a piece we'll see over here from Halachic Man, who seems to be giving a different approach, and different than the Shla, the Ben Yoyada, the Sefer Hasidim, and we'll talk about what he means after we teach Nefesh Chaim. But let's just read what he says. It's the second source on the top left. And when many halachic concepts do not correspond with the phenomena of the real world, right, those of us who are learning Yeridei this year can appreciate the struggle. Halachic man is not at all distressed. His deepest desire is not the realization of halacha, but the ideal construction which was given to him from Sinai. And this ideal construction exists forever. There never was an ira nidachas, and there never will be. For what then? What purpose then was the law written? Drosh v'kabel schar. The foundation of foundations and the pillar of halachic thought is not the practical ruling, but the determination of the theoretical halacha. Now, what's he saying over here? Halacha is the instantiation of the divine will. And that idea can be understood in an esoteric manner, which we've seen in some of the Makoros, we'll see more later on, the idea that all the concepts of halacha do reflect deeper truths. The Shlach HaKadosh writes, going back to those mitzvos that I said, he says, what would have been in Torah if Adam HaRishon hadn't sinned? So what's with the mitzvah of Lo Sachra Ushor V'chamor Yachtav? 1 second. There's no such thing as Harisha without Chait. And he says, oh, it would have had a different meaning in a world without Chait. That concept of Lo Sachra reflects a deeper truth. And that deeper truth is eternal. And it would have meant one thing practically had Adam HaRishon not been Chotei. And it means something else now that he was Chotei. And he says, not only that, but Lasid Lavo, after the Cheta Adam and Chava's Niskan, it will mean something else as well. He says, that's the pshat. In the Bris Chadasha that's described in the Psukim in Yirmiyahu, the Rishonim are very troubled by what is this Bris Chadasha exactly? After all, mitzvos are nitzchius, they're not going to change and the like. There are a number of interpretations. Take a look at the Radak, for example. But the Shloss says, what's the pshat? The pshat is that there's going to be new insight into the mitzvos such that they relate to our higher, elevated spiritual state that will exist lasid lavo. And that's what the Bris Chadasha is. So what's the Shloss saying? And many, many sources, especially in Kabbalah, stress, is that the ideas of Torah reflect these deeper truths, as we've said before. Torah relates to Olam Haba, and Torah relates to Olam Hazeh. There's the Torah the Malachim saw and said, it's not right to give that to Bnei Adam, and then there's the Torah that we see that relates directly to the Olam HaAsiyah. So the concepts of Torah are the instantiation of the eternal divine will, the divine Ratzon, the Chachmas Hashem. That's one way to look at it. What the Rav over here is saying in Halachic Man is that there's another way to look at it. Halachic Man denies the existence, or at least the insignificance, of the esoteric. Halachic Man also, though, understands that the ideas of Torah are, and the ideas of Halacha are, an instantiation of the divine will that manifests itself in the Diktuke Halacha. It's not esoteric. The famous story of the Halakha Korkovan. Rav Baruch Ber is learning and learning and learning about what the Korkovan, he didn't even know what it was. So, Halachic Man, the Rav says, isn't distressed when the Halacha doesn't relate to the Metzius that he comprehends. Because the Halachic system is building a framework, and really that's what we're trying to understand. We're understanding the ideas and the like. Now, again, we still don't have enough to understand this. We're going to, I don't know if we will after either, but this obviously does relate to his Mahalich, and for that, that really brings us to the next topic, which is what does Torah Lishma mean? And we're going to see basically four texts, two from Reb Chaim Volozhiner, five texts. One from the Baal HaTanya, one from Rav Soloveitchik, one from Yosher Divrei Emes, and maybe also Tzavas Rivash, some other Hasidic sources. I guess it might be more than four. But anyway, that's what we're going to do next. We're going to try to have a Havana of Torah Lishma. And then I think we can go back to these ideas that we saw earlier. See, there's already a million questions. I can take some questions, but I'm hoping to answer these questions by learning the Makoros. So if I just say, wait, either I'm dodging the bullet, or you could trust me. Yeah?
I just want to clarify exactly sort of what went on at the beginning of this year. So the end of last year, Rebbe was presenting a certain approach to Drosh Kabbalistar, and other of the Talmidim presented a different approach to Drosh Kabbalistar. So is this just saying that in Akinami there are two approaches, and There's the one
from
the Girl
of Sayyam,
and there's the one from
the Man. That's a very concrete and black and white way of looking at what I said. I don't think it's inaccurate, but I don't think... I'm trying to get at something much deeper and try to show a much more broad approach to Talmud Torah in general, which doesn't necessarily fit neatly into the chakira that you're setting up.
I mean, both ideas of Joseph Campbell's argument are going to be true.
Yes, that's why I said I think what you're saying is accurate. I just think we're going to try to get at something that's a little deeper and broader than saying a chakira. There's two pshatim in Drosh v'Kabbal Schar. There's the Sefer Hasidim. There's the Rav in Halachic Men and the like. But we need time to develop these ideas.
So we haven't gotten there yet.
That's what I just said.
Okay. Good.
There's a little just inconsistency with that in Halachic Men. If the whole nature of halacha is that we're trying to understand the theoretical basis of halacha, then why is there a subcategory in halacha called Drosh v'Kabbal Schar? If all of halacha really is just has the same tilo symbol.
There's a continuum. And there's a range. Halacha, like, again, trying to get there, but just in terms of even what we said so far, halacha definitely, among other things, actually tells you what to do. Surprise, surprise. You might take the pots and pans out of your adaya, but your adaya also does deal with the pots and pans. Person has to know what they do when they put their milchig bowl in their fleishig microwave. And as halaga as the korkovan is, right, you also have to know how to check for treifas in real life. So what the Rav is saying is that there's more to halacha than the pots and the pans. And the concept of ben soror u'mora, of lo hayav lo nivra, is a reflection that must be true. Because if all there was to halacha was the practical, then the sugya of lo hayav lo nivra, drosh v'kabbal schar, doesn't play a role in halacha. But it does. So you see that there's more to halacha than just the pots and the pans. But you still have to know, right? And again, it's that point that we said. The halacha relates to the olam asiyah, and it relates to the sublime esoteric realms, and it relates to the conceptual understanding of the law. All that's true. Don't be so narrow. I'm not Sami, but saying, I think that's what he's getting at. And the truth is, going back to that point that I said before, the dialectical nature of transmission, that to transmit something, you sort of have to present it one way in one time and one place and a totally different way. If there's anyone that does that, it's the Rav, right? He sets up these typologies of sort of extreme characters like halachic man or lonely man of faith or the like, homo religiosus. And reality for 99.9% of people is not any one of those. It's all of them. But the way to learn it and the way to appreciate it is not by trying to do everything at once, because then you're left with a Mishka Babble. Instead, we're going to learn halachic man. We're going to see what that person is and the way he sees the world. And then we'll learn somebody else. If you ask the Rav, who am I? I don't think he would say I'm a halachic man. Or homo religiosus, right? If he was a halachic man, he couldn't write lonely man of faith. It's like a sugya that has no shaychus to him, right? Rav Kook writes a beautiful thing. He talks about how people tend, it's a beautiful essay, it's called Lachduto Shel Arambam, I think. Maybe we'll even learn it one of these days. And he talks about how he's writing to I think his name was Seidel, who was a historian, and he writes about the Rambam and the influences of the Rambam, philosophy and the like. I think it's actually Kedai too. We'll do a shiur on maybe how Rav Kook understood the Rambam, Rav Kook and the Rav on Marnibuch. I think it's a Kedai topic. But anyway, so he says that, you know, the problem with the Rambam is the Rambam was a very broad person. But people tend to be narrow. So some people look at the Rambam and they're philosophers, and so they see the Rambam as a philosopher and everything else is like not really part of him. He didn't like, he didn't really, he wasn't so into Mishneh Torah, you know, maybe he wrote it for the Hamona and the Chreis, but that wasn't who he is. He is a philosopher. And then somebody else will know, Rambam was a Lamdin, or the Rambam was a Baal Halacha, or the Rambam was a communal leader. The Rambam was broad, but they're narrow. So they create the Rambam in their own image, and they say everything else wasn't really who he was. And then the Rav Kook says much further. It's not just that. The Rambam was very broad, but the Rambam's breath doesn't come close to encapsulating the breath of Torah. The Rambam had to bring out a certain daher in Torah, right? And if you wanted to understand Torah properly, fully, and you want to go ahead and see that there's a rationality to Torah, so there needs to be someone like the Rambam and other rationalists Rishonim who said, you know what? We can look at the whole Torah rationally. Everything could be understood rationally. You could be entirely rational and entirely Torah. And the Rambam proved it, because the Rambam was the greatest Jew in the world, not only, but among them, right? And he was totally rational. And he said you could look at everything in the Torah rationally. And so he didn't believe in Kabbalah. At least, you know, well, we could talk another time. We could give a share in the Rambam's view on Kabbalah. But for the most part, right? And then other people had to develop the world of Kabbalah. And if they were, you know, saw the rational aspect of Torah, they wouldn't have done that. And then the Rambam sort of developed his Mahalach and the Mekubalim, their Mahalach. And then we can go ahead and say Elav Elu Devei Elokim Chaim and see how Torah encompasses all of these things. But they never would have developed unless they were developed in this dialectical manner, whereby people were all one thing or all another thing. Because you have to go and say, okay, I'm going to learn the whole Torah, call a Torah Kula, and explain it on purely rational terms. If you're not a rationalist, you're not going to bother, right? You'll come to something, say, well, you know, Taka, this is better the other way, right? The better Mahalech is different Mahalech. So Rav Kook writes that different Kufos, different thinkers, had to emphasize different things. Okay. Now let's actually talk about what we want to talk about today, which is what is the meaning of Torah Lishma? So I think we'll do like this. The Nefesh Chaim, of course, develops the concept of Torah Lishma in Nefesh Chaim, Shaar Daled. And really, to appreciate Shaar Daled, you also have to see the first three Sha'arim. There's a reason why he starts with Shaar Aleph and then Beis and Gimel before he gets to Torah. We're not going to do that today. But any idea of his understanding of Torah Lishma isn't simple. But I think maybe what we'll read first is a piece from the Ruach Chaim, which is the parish of Nefesh Chaim Perkei Avos. You have it in your sheets. It's the fourth page, I think. Fourth page, okay. And we'll read it here. It's a little more concise and to the point than in the Nefesh Chaim. So since we're limited in time. But it's the same idea, and I'm sure these are ideas you've all seen already. Inyan Lishma, Ikar L'Shem Avas HaTorah, Liga V'Lamod Al Sharsha. Lishma means L'Shem Avas HaTorah. Dehainu, Liga V'Lamod Al Sharsha. So Lamod Al Sharsha, meaning to understand the Shorash of Torah, to truly understand it. Avalim Yachshov Adam ki Lishma Kavana Lidvekos. Now, clearly, Reb Chaim here is coming to preclude a certain perspective. And we're going to try to figure out who that perspective is. I don't think it's the way people say. But there is a perspective that said Lishma is Dvekos. We'll call it the foil, right? We're trying to figure out who's the foil of the Nefesh Chaim. So the foil says that Lishma is Dvekos. Vimkein. according to that view, Ladaito v'demyonu yachshav shiasok v'shiros b'sishbachos uvefrat b'sefer tehillim min'im zmiros Yisrael ha'me'oyrim avas Hashem v'kirvaso v'zeh da'ilo v'zeh yichyachayim ha'revim. What is the most inspirational thing you could do? So, Alos and Negayim, I don't know. Not too many people get inspired by Alos and Negayim. What's Me'orer Dveikus? Oh, tell him. It's true. The words of David HaMelech are so powerful. So profound, so inspirational. So say Tehillim. Say Tehillim all day. If Dveikus is achieved, if the goal of Tar Dveikus, you'll have a lot more Dveikus. If you just say Tehillim all day. You don't even have to say all Tehillim. Pick your favorite kapitlach, right? Because some of the Tehillim, it's not, you know. So even Tehillim is not all of it so inspirational. So pick your. And he says, Gufa, this is what the Medrash is actually addressing. Matzinu b'medrash, shedavid bikei she'osek b'shiros v'shirav v'zimrav, yechashev lo ka'osek b'negayim v'o'alos. David HaMelech says, you know what, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please make Tehillim on the madrega of negayim v'o'alos. Harei, shenegayim v'o'alos yikarim yos. In other words, the fact that David HaMelech had to have that request shows that negayim v'o'alos were higher. And moreover, lo matzinu, Shehiskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo b'zeh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't necessarily even agree. Lefi shikra halimud, lo lasok rak b'dveikos, kiyim lasig al yedei ha-Torah, v'amitzvos v'adinim, v'leida kol davar al borio, to understand every aspect of Torah, klalav u'pratav, u'lahasig gam kein sisrei pilei ma'isav, v'cheker kvodo. It's not just halacha, it's Torah's pasod, the more you learn, the more avas hatorah you'll have. What's going to happen? You're going to fall in love with Torah. You're going to want to learn more and more. You're going to wish, I wish I didn't have to go to sleep at night and stop to eat. What an annoying thing to have to eat. Rock, we solved that problem while you eat in our base medrash. Rock, kol hayamim, v'chol halelos, liga, ulayin, v'lishtois, pitsamas, tivarao, kamama, razal, im shamo b'yashan, tishma b'chadash, klima le'machzik, v'chulei. Skip a little bit to the next section, which I have on the next page highlighted. V'zeh mama razal, Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok Omer, Asei Dvarim L'Shem Pa'alam, V'daber Bahem L'Shman, V'shina Bilshon, V'gabi Asiya Amar L'Shem Pa'alam, V'gabi Dibur Amar L'Shman. It's a very interesting deal. He's saying that you see that L'Shma for mitzvos, in other words, Asei Dvarim L'Shem Pa'alam, so Asiya mitzvos.
Where are we reading from?
Where it's marked off on the next page. The Kupay Tess. Okay. All right, listen carefully. It's Yeshua's fault. He did the copying. That joke. I did the copying. He just picked it up. So he has a diok here. I'm sorry. He has a diok here from how to understand the nature of Lishma for mitzvos is different than Lishma for Torah. That's why it says Asei Dvarim L'Shem Pa'alam, but V'daber Bahem, which is Torah, L'Shmam. V'shina Bilshono Gabi Asiya Amar L'Shem Pa'alam Gabi Dibur Amar L'Shmam Ki B'Asiya Samitzus Tarach Lios B'Dveikus Gadol Me'od L'Kaimam Rak Machmas Sivui Hashem Yisbarach Kimo Shekasov Kasher Tziva Hashem Elokai L'Chein Amar L'Shem Pa'alam Ach HaDibur Bahem D'Hainu Lima Dineyem Yia L'Shem HaDvarim Atzman Kimo She Bayarnu, Ukumo Shakasav Shama Rush, Zakhana Lavracha, what does Lishma mean? Kede Lahavin Ulahosif Lekach Upilpo. In other words, what does Torah Lishma mean according to Rush? To understand Torah. Kede Lahavin Ulahosif Lekach Upilpo. So understand Torah, Lahosif Lekach Upilpo, to be Mechadesh in Torah, That's what Lishma is. V'lo rak b'dveikos. K'mo sh'nishdarbu b'zeh harbe. Ki yim tzarech l'hamik u'l'ayim b'machshavto. B'gashmir sadvarim k'gom b'dinei mzikin. V'chein tzarech l'famim l'isa v'litim b'migo shal armayim. U'masar armay yachal l'itoin v'kadayim. Right? When you're learning migo, you're learning about, like, you're thinking, how does a ganav think? So, if you just saw it as a hecha timtza to dveikos, it's a very modern way to get to dveikos, to think about ganavim. But rather, what does lishma mean? Lishma means to understand Torah. Your goal is to understand Torah. Pick up a little later, the next page, which some of you have. He gives a mashal, these bar, inyan lishma, l'shem Torah, derech mashal. We'll just skip to the last paragraph. Last paragraph, kein esek ha-Torah, imchas v'shalom anachnu parshim imena, en lanu chayim. The gam la kedai b'zayon. Kmo she'amarin amru b'medrash. Lav she'atayra b'gdei amanos. V'nichnas al nekadosh baruch hu v'amra. Im ein oskim ba, ein lakiyom. Vim anachnu oskim ba, anachnu chayim kayam, mukam sachar. V'gam yesh simcha, kmo she'amru zal. V'yudvam smechem k'nisasa. V'sinan she'advam atzman smechem. Now, lest you think that you don't have to, that Talmud Torah has nothing to do with Dveikos. You don't have to think about Dveikos. So let's look at the Nefesh Chaim Shar Dalet Perek Vav, which you have on your Makorah sheets going back to what page?
Page one.
Okay. Yes?
Can we give a brief functional definition of Dveikos?
No.
No.
Obviously, dveikos means clinging, connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what dveikos is. Us connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a very deep and meaningful way. Now, if you could give a one-sentence definition, so there would be no need for there to be books and books and books written on it.
Basically functional.
And, no. In other words, before I talked about how Torah relates. No. It's a very important thing you're saying, and it's not a bad thing. I want to. Torah relates to the Olam Hasiya, the Olam HaDibor and the Olam HaMachshava. So let's try to understand what that means. The Olam HaMachshava, the world of Machshava, is something that is infinite and it reflects God's eternal wisdom. And the Rambam writes about how a person is learning and, like, all of a sudden in the middle of the learning, like a stroke of lightning, they have clarity. And like the lightning illuminates the night sky, they see and understand everything, and then, like lightning, it disappears, and they're in the dark again. But for a moment, they had that clarity. And the more you learn, the more frequently those moments of illumination come. He quotes, Nefesh Chaim quotes this as well, the Chayos Ratzo V'Shov, not going to be consistent, you're going to have. But that's because it's very hard for us. We are, after all, physical creatures as well, to relate to the Olam HaMachshava. The Olam HaDibor, what are words? Words take those concepts of Machshava and limit them by defining them in words. And that's something that's much more shaykh to relate to. You're taking this infinite idea, something that's beyond definition, and you're packaging it in words. Now, something tremendously is lost in that process because it's no longer infinite. It's been defined and limited. Same time, we can relate to it much more. Now, people think machshava is when I think. Most of the time, I don't know about you, when I think, I'm just talking to myself in my head. No, in other words, it's dibur, it's not verbalized. That's not machshava. Machshava is something that's like that flash that you sometimes have. You're learning Taisus, you have that avan, and then when you try to put it into words, you're limiting it. You're bringing it from that olam ha-machshava to the olam ha-dibur. And sometimes we limit things even more, make them more concrete when we bring them to the olam ha-maisa. So it's important. You're saying you need a working definition somewhere between olam ha-dibur and olam ha-maisa, right? And it's very important to do that, because when you talk about all sorts of floaty, ephemeral things, sometimes they're so undefined, vague, that they're not things that we could relate to. And sometimes we could actually confuse them, things that make no sense for things that do make sense, but because we're not defining any of our terms, everything is just floaty. So we do need functional definitions, but we also can't limit ourselves to those very straightforward, simple, functional definitions. We have to learn to elevate our comprehension so we're not stuck in the lower realms and try to connect through Talmud Torah to the infinite. So what we're going to try to do is, and how do we do that? You learn the sugya. So we're going to try to learn a little bit about the sugya of Dveikus, and more specifically the sugya of Lishma. And through the definitions that and the discussions that we see, we're going to try to get a Havana for ourselves of what Dveikus means. And the more we learn about the Parsha of Dveikus, the more we'll have an understanding of that. So the act of trying to get working definitions is valuable, but I think we're not ready for that yet, because we haven't read enough. And I think if you go ahead and you say every time, you know, I'm not going to go on to the next step, the next parak, unless I like fully understand this parak, you'll get stuck at like chapter 3. Because you have to read on to understand, you have to read chapter 5 to understand chapter 3 sometimes. You have to read chapter 12 to understand chapter 6. But it's tricky, because that means you're reading things you don't really fully relate to yet. But sometimes that's necessary. Yes?
Okay. Does Nebuchadnezzar use Dveikus the same way that other people use Dveikus?
The way we're going to figure that out is by reading Nefesh HaChayim and thinking about it. So, Shar Dalet Paragvav. L'zoyse emesh shezu hi aderach amiti asher b'zeh b'char hu yisbarach shemoshek b'chol eis shiyachin ha'adam atzma l'lumod. Every time you want to sit down and learn. So what should you do? Okay. What should you do? In my shir, in the morning. So before morning Seder, every day, we have a huddle and we learn a little bit of machshava, musar, tveikus. So that's Nefesh HaChayim saying, you don't have to go to my huddle. But you do have to think. You have to set intention before you learn. Because it's not the case that if you just learn, everything will happen automatically. If you just learn Nagayim V'Olos, but you don't set intention before doing so, you can miss the point. Ra'ui lo l'siyashiv kodem shiyaschil al-kolpanim z'man mu'at b'iras Hashem tohora b'tahara salev l'zvadus al-chatos u'me'om kodeliba k'day sh'tei toiras o'kadosh o'torah, to make sure your Torah is tahor and kadosh. V'yichavein l'zdabek b'limudo bo b'toira bo b'akadosh baruch hu. You have to be mechavein, to be mizdabek through your limud Torah, meaning to say that Torah achieves dveikus, but for that dveikus to be achieved, you must have kavana that your Torah will bring about that dveikus. And to do that, you have to stop and think and ponder why you're learning, what's the goal of your learning, prepare for an activity of kedusha and tara. Hainu lizdabek b'chol kolchos of l'dvar Hashem zo halacha. Halacha is dvar Hashem, and we're going to be mizdabek through the act of lima Torah. Uvazeu davok bo yisborach mamish kaviyachol. Because how are we mizdabek to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Through the Ratzon Hashem. Hu v'ratzono echad. And how do we do that? Through understanding Torah, which is the Ratzon Hashem. So we're mizdabek to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Talmud Torah. And we have to set that intention before we begin. Uvezeu davok bo yisborach mamish kaviyachol. Ki hu yisborach uritzono chad. Kemo shen yisborach bezohar. V'chol din v'alachol mitorak dosha hu ritzono yisborach. Shekein gazra ritzono shiyehei kach. Hadin. Right? Why is it that something is kosher or pasul? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said so. It reflects his wisdom, his ratzon. Kosher or pasul, tamei or tahor, asur or mutar, chayav v'zakai. V'gam im hu asur b'divrei agada, shein b'am nafkusa l'shem din, gam kein hu davak b'dibur shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ki haTorah kula b'chlaleha ufrateha v'dikdukeha. So even when you're learning machshava, you're being mizdavik to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because kol haTorah kula, every single component is the dvar Hashem. V'afilu ma shetalmid katan shomei rabu akol yata mepiv yisbarach l'shma l'moshe misinai k'mo shamu rabu seinu. And here's a very important point. We're going to get back to this later. The role of chiddush. Chiddush is so important because it too comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. K'mo shamu rabu seinu zal soif perek sheni de Megillah with Karkama de Brachos, and all these places where we say afilu mashe talmid shol l'rav. The low ode, Eliki gam be'oso eish adam osik b'tar l'mata kol teva shemoti mipiv heinein dvarim yotik aviyachol mipiv shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He quotes the Gran Gittin. Eliyahu is asked by Rabbi Avyasar, what's HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing now? And he answers, Avyasar b'nikachu omer. Yonasan b'nikachu omer kaviyachol HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we're learning, he is repeating what we say. So it has profound effects in the olamos hatachtonim and the olamos halyonim, and it's through that dveikus, through that Talmud Torah, that we achieve that dveikus. And therefore, the Nefesh Chaim says, and so memela, if you're learning for an hour or two, and you're having hesach hadas, you're getting a little carried away, nagan ba'olos, and you're forgetting that dveikus, that intention that you said at the beginning of your seder, stop for a minute or two, not longer, and reconnect, and then go back to Taisvis. Now, who is, I guess we're going to have another shiur on this, but let's just leave off with a question. We're going to see that many of the Hasidic thinkers say from the Baal Shem Tov that, that Talmud Torah is Dveikus. So who exactly is the foil of Reb Chaim V'Lashner? We're going to see the Tanya take the approach that Tanya is very complicated. He's also a very dialectical thinker. And the truth is, if you really wanted to, there are people in this room who know Tanya a lot better than me, and you have to look at the numerous places where he discusses the topic. We're just going to even look at one part, which won't give you the whole picture. But the Baal Tanya is going to say that Talmud Torah Lishma is Dveikus. So we'll read it next time, but we'll leave off with the question. Is Reb Chaim V'Lajner coming lafuke the Baal HaTanya? If there's one, let's look at the questions, right? So he asked a number of questions. How do I know that my foil is wrong? He says, if my foil's right, well, then you don't have to bother learning so many different things. Just learn a couple kapitloch of Tehillim, right? Say that all day long. That's going to be Dveikus. if there's ever a thinker that said, you have to know, Kol HaTar Kula, it was the Baal HaTanya. Look at this Hilchos Talmud Torah, it's probably the scariest thing you'll ever read in your whole life. You'll read it and you'll like cry for days. Because he says that you have to know everything and you have to remember everything. And if you ever forget anything, oy vavoy, it's like, I don't know of a Litvish thinker who speaks in such strong terms about the degree to which you have to master Kol HaTorah Kula, every chelek, nothing missing, know everything.
They called him the Litva.
So obviously, he wasn't Baal HaFuge Reb Chaim V'lajner, right? Chaim V'lajner, however he defines Torah Lishma, and he does say it relates to Dveikus, it doesn't mean that, since Torah Lishma, so then just like pick a section that you find inspirational and like repeat it again and again your whole life. Because you'll be mizdabik to a Kodesh Baruch. Clearly that's not what he was saying. Right? Look at his kashas that he asks. None of the kashas, not one. He has a whole bunch of kashas on that approach, are kashas on the Baal HaTanya. Nobody would even have a Havamina that they're kashas on the Baal HaTanya. He writes about how he's gone to certain Bate Medrash and Chassidish places, and the whole base Medrash doesn't even have a whole Shas, right? He's writing against people who held that Talmud Torah, meaning Dveikus, Torah Lishma means to be Mizdabek, just means, like we were saying, learning Tillim, feeling a emotional connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that way, and that's what Torah Lishma means. And if that's all Torah Lishma means, so you're right, Taka, you don't need all Shas, and you don't need a master called Tarkula and the like. It's just, Tillim will be good enough. Now, is there anyone that said that? Now, we'll see. We're going to read what the Baal HaTanya says next time. It's not what the Baal HaTanya says. I don't know. I think that's a feeling that probably people had at the time. But I don't think that the Hasidish masters that we know of really said that. Maybe it was a certain popular belief. That's point A. There is point B, which we're going to see next time, which is a little more profound, which is that understanding Dveikus in a way that you're mevatel yourself. In other words, is Torah being mevatel yourself, or is it Torah means of expression? And there is a difference between the Litvish approach and at least the Hasidish approach expressed by certain Hasidim. And it relates to a very important point, which is, how do we understand and relate to Achdus Hashem? But that Bez Hashem, we're going to do next time. So, next time, we're going to continue, but what I would recommend, if anyone has a little bit of time, you should learn, at the very least, before next time, Parakeh of Tanya, which you have in your sheets. And I'd like you to see a piece, which is from on the left column of the page 2 through page 3, from Yosher Divrei Emes. And I think if there's anything that close to, though not identical, to what he's Baal HaFuge, maybe it's there. Yosher Divrei Emes is a very important makor, and take a look at that. It's all here. Okay, Chevra, have a good Shabbos.